Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to the Connecting Soul Beings podcast, offering you inspiration, tips, and learning about tuning into the language of your soul and gain a deep, intuitive understanding of your inner self, your guides, and the animals around you, so you are able to live from your heart with grace, love, and gratitude. We bring together spiritual leaders, energy healers, and awakened humans, so we are able to collaborate and help you feeling loved, joyful, and free by providing clear direction on how to connect soul to soul. Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to another episode of the Connecting Soul Beings podcast. This particular episode was recorded during the 2018 Connecting Soul Beings Summit. This summit contains 28 experts and thought leaders, and we created this event to help conscious, self-aware soul beings and animal lovers to have inspiration and practical guidance on how to feel connected and in alignment, filled with beautiful energy. You can also watch the videos of these episodes on our YouTube channel, which is listed in the show notes. Please enjoy. Hello and welcome back to the online summit, Connecting Soul Beings. Today we have Simona Lee. She is an animal communicator and also a life strategist, and she's based here in Sydney, Australia. Now, we've had a wonderful conversation. Simona has been working as an animal communicator for quite a number of years and has discovered that the human parents to the animals also need a little bit of work. So we spoke about mindfulness, holding your energy, listening to your animals, and what impact you have on the animals' behavior. So sit back, relax, grab yourself a cup of coffee or tea, and enjoy the conversation.
When did you start doing animal communication?
In 2011. That's when I discovered that I could do that. So it's been a few years now.
Did you study it or did you just naturally do it?
I was approached by a snake. So I can officially blame an animal for getting me into this stuff.
So it's all natural for you. You just, yeah. High five, I did that too. That's like, that discovery is a journey.
Yeah. Very
much. And you had a snake.
Yes. So that was really interesting. And then I found it was actually right after I started learning about Reiki healing and my spiritual abilities. And then the snake came into my life, and it was just it felt like hours, but it must have only been a few minutes that I connected with the snake. And when I got out of that, I thought, this is really bizarre stuff. Right now I'm going nuts. I'm hearing voices and it's crazy. But then I started researching about talking to animals and animal communication. And then I found a few other animal communicators, including yourself, online. And then I did a few courses and I thought, I need to learn this in a more practical way, just to ease my mind on how do you do this from a practical level.
Yeah.
But then you develop your own way of doing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you started with family and friends, and then I thought, I can do this forever. I need to get out of corporate. And then the universe helped out by saying, look, you're going to be made redundant and we'll give you a nice package. And that happened. So that was really cool.
And then
I just jumped, and that was 3 years ago.
Wow, that's exciting. Oh, so only 3 years.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, so... So what I loved about you as well is that you're now incorporating the human aspect to actually work with the animals, but also helping the humans to progress further and make the changes in their life as well. And that really resonated for me too, because I noticed that indeed connecting with the animals, it was all about, hey, I've got this behavior because I need to tell you that the human needs to actually make the changes, not me.
Yeah, that's a big sneaky thing with animal communication is that, you know, the owners go, oh, can you fix this? Can you fix that? You're like, sure, yeah. And then you start doing the session and it's all about addressing the owner, their energy, how they're managing their emotions and connecting to their pets.
Yes.
So it goes back to mindfulness in that stage as well for the owners, for the humans, I see.
Exactly. And that's where the excitement is, I feel. Because then it becomes that collaboration with the animals, you know, and that's the teamwork that really comes into play.
Yeah, and it gives it allows a voice for the animals. And you know, the best part that I like is negotiating between the animals and the owners.
Yeah.
Working out the deals, what they're both going to do, what they both agree to, where they're going to step up. So yeah. That's the fun part for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Beautiful. So how did you get into animal communication?
It happened. So in reflection, I've always been able to chat to animals. Most kids do anyway, you know that. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I grew up as an only child. So all my siblings were my animals, and my poor mum made sure I had lots and lots of animals continuously growing up. So I'd be chatting to them and stuff like that. And then in my 20s, I went traveling for a few years, for I think 7 years. And when I came back to Australia, a cat, a female alpha cat, adopted me, and her name was Kat, right? And she would talk to me non-stop. And she'd tell me what to do, tell me when to go to bed, be like, we'd have arguments, I'm not going to bed now, which I'm sure some people deal with their already. And then I had friends tell me about their animals, and I'd say to them, oh, so you went here today to this coffee shop, or I'd just say you'd gone to a coffee shop, and they'd be like, how do you know? You didn't say hello, you didn't tell me when you saw me. And I said, no, your pet's telling me, your dog's telling me, because you took your dog with you. Wow. And they didn't believe me at first, and they thought I was playing games and stalking them. And then when some of their pets were sick, I'd tell them where it was located and the pain level.
Mm.
And then their friends would tell their friends, and it just went on from there.
Yeah.
And then I think when I was doing Complete Strangers is when I thought, I think I really like to do this for a living, make it my passion, and see where it goes from there. I was already working with people, the humans, on the coaching side, the healing side.
Yeah.
And then I just incorporated that into the animal communication part in about a year later.
Wow.
So it wasn't that long afterwards, after I left my quick job working in the corporate world and then stepped into coaching. And then the next year I was doing animal communication as well.
Yeah. So what are some of the stories that you can share with us about the animal and the human connection? What's the best one you've got?
I've had quite some pets. I'll say a cat, this particular cat that was so, so wise, so intuitive, such an old, old soul.
Mm.
And I was telling the owner, I said, you know, this, your cat really knows what's going on. And he's telling me to tell you all these things that you need to do with your life to get back on track, to get everything back in order, because her life was quite chaotic. And the cat just kept saying, you're choosing the wrong partners. It was all about the men that she was trying to get involved with and create a relationship with. And the cat, and she said to me, my cat will not go to the men, specific men. And I said, because your cat's saying to you that they're not of the caliber that you should be connecting with. They're a lower vibration, or not that they're bad or anything, the men, it's bringing her down.
Mm-hmm.
Has to look after them instead of a partnership.
Yeah.
So that was one of the big ones. And it took her about a year to really investigate that and do self-work on herself, because it's all about self-esteem and self-worth. But she'd use her cat as the navigator.
Yes.
If the cat went to the person, the male, she'd be like, okay, I'm going to try this. If the cat didn't, she'd stay away from them, which I found really weird. I thought, that's great. You're using your kitty cat. He told you lots of stuff and it's working. So that was pretty exciting. Another one, which I think is really funny, is that I had two clients. They had two dogs and they separated. The woman took the dog with her back overseas and the male kept the doggy.
Right. And
both of them were really heartbroken. You know, the dog missed his partner in crime and he was quite broken-hearted over the relationship. So it took a while to heal. And the doggy would just got anxiety and would just keep scratching the door until the door frame was gone from the bottom down. got really bad. So that's when I started coming in and working with him, both of them actually. And it took a good 3 months of shifting, because when a doggy, as you know, gets separation anxiety, it's not overnight fixed.
No.
Really got to address the insecurities and working what creates a safety zone for them. So whether it's a small space, things like a thunder jacket, having the TV on, or just having doggy dates or doggy daycare, you need to start changing your daily habit. So after 3 or 4 months, I went to visit them and he said, I want to know how he's going. I want to know if he's happy now, likes the routine, because this dad was amazing. He did everything and anything he could to make his dog happy.
Yeah.
And, the dogs were showing me things, and he's showing me his dad in different outfits standing in front of the mirror. And I'm going, I don't understand what you're saying to me. And he just kept showing me, why is this happening? I don't understand what daddy's doing. And so I told the dad and he went bright red. And I said, I'm really sorry. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I don't understand what he's trying to tell me, because he just keeps showing me you in all these outfits. And I said, they look good. You're looking good. And he just said, well, it's been, what did he say? He said, it's been 3 or 4 months now and I've started dating and I bought a whole new wardrobe and I've been trying on clothes. And then I started laughing. He started laughing and I was telling the dog, because the dog thought he was moving away.
Oh.
So the dog was like, why is this happening? And then when I told the doggy that daddy's feeling happy, he wants to be more social, he's ready to mingle, you could see his tail just starting to go like this. And it was funny. And I said, you might want to buy your doggy some outfits as well, because he feels like a rock star. So you might want a cool jacket or something like that when you go for a walk. So that was hilarious. And the poor dad, I haven't seen them for maybe a few years now, but if I catch up with them on Facebook, they're doing really, really well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love it when all that comes together, because especially when the human guardian actually takes it on board and really listens to what the messages are from the animals and to actually work together with them, that's just absolutely beautiful.
It changes the whole dynamic once they've got that communication flowing, and it allows also the animal to grow up a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of the time we treat our pets like they're our babies, which they are. They're our fur kids or fish, scalies, kids. And if we keep them at that level of consciousness, they don't get to mature.
Yeah.
And for me, what I've noticed with doing animal communication is that maturity that gives them that intuitiveness.
Mm.
You know, they get to grow up, their consciousness gets to expand. And then that's where the real communication starts to happen.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So what is the greatest joy that you get out of communicating with animals and then also helping the human guardians around them?
The biggest joy I get is when it's been a serious problem, not just a little issue, but serious problem, and the animal, and I can feel it right from their heart, they say thank you. Such a heartfelt thank you. And for me, that even that now brings tears to my eyes, because they've been so distraught, they've been so confused, they didn't know what to do, and then you just come in and basically you're translating. Translation, a little bit of working out what both people, like the owners and the pets, need for that stability in the home front, that deeper understanding, and then it just changes everything for both of them, for everyone in the family.
Yeah.
Not just the owner and I call the owners mummy and daddy. Yeah. So sometimes I have two daddies, sometimes I have two mummies, but yeah.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah, I'm the same. In generic terms, I usually say human guardian, but or the human parent.
Yeah, the human parent,
Definitely the mummy and dad.
Yeah. So it's that heartfelt thank you that makes everything so worthwhile for me. Because sometimes it's difficult explaining to, you know, the owners that they have to step up.
Yes.
And that we're not just telling the animals what to do, what they can and can't do, and that they should follow it. I said, you try telling a five-year-old and taking them to a candy store, you can't touch anything. And I'm like, if you're not looking, they're going to be touching. And I said, you can tell them, it doesn't mean they have to follow through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that understanding, it's that conversational style of negotiating, of creating an understanding that you both follow through on. And it's respectful as well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And it's also that permission that I feel that we receive from them before we even start. You know, when you talk about respect as well, that's, you know, because you're sort of going into their space and we're utilizing their energy to start receiving the information. So for me, it's always, you know, the permission that we receive to have that conversation and to start really tuning in and listening to them.
Yeah.
And utilizing their energy for that moment to pick up what needs to be come out in the open, so to speak, for everyone.
Yeah. It's like that permission is knocking on someone's front door and saying, yeah. Hi, is it okay? That's all it is.
Exactly. That's all it is. Yeah.
That energy that you mentioned, that's their home.
Yeah.
That's their space. So it is important that you ask permission, that you're so polite, and that you're gentle as you connect.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And the same goes for the people too. Because when you work with the animals, I mean, it's not just them, but for the people as well. And it was interesting, the first time I had to share with a human that the animal had certain messages for them, she was really taking it back. And she was like, no, you're not here to talk about me. You're here to fix my dog. You know, and she had two puppies. And I said to her, yeah, well, therein lies a little bit of a challenge because, yes, there are some behavioral challenges there with your dogs as well, but they are linked to what you are currently experiencing. Yes. And they tell me really clearly that we also need to talk about that.
Yes.
So I have no choice but to share that, you know, and that was a really interesting activity to do, especially for the first time. I was like, my goodness, really? Do I have to tell her that?
Yeah. Opening up Pandora's box.
Yes.
What do I do with that?
They know so much. It's amazing. Ooh. We often don't realize. Yeah.
And I always say that animals, their behavior, you know, the way they interact with others, yourself, is a direct example of how we're managing our own state, our own energy, our own emotional state. So if they start misbehaving, we've got to address ourselves first. Are we tipping over the edge with stress? Are we out of the body all the time and being manic with everything we have to do? And that's where the mindfulness techniques, methods come in, where the owner, where I encourage the owner to, you know, adopt into some their daily routine.
Yes.
The other thing is, if we don't have those mindful moments, we don't know when our pet's trying to connect with us. Because I'm going to tell you, my pet knows when he's on my lap, my cat Nero knows he's on my lap and I'm patting him and he thinks, oh, I'm going, okay, I'm going to double task him. And I'm scrolling through my phone and he'll get his paw and he'll put it on my arm and push my arm down. So he knows I'm trying to double task here and that I'm not fully connected to him. And that's what they really want, that mindfulness, full connection. It doesn't have to be all the time. It's just moments of when we're physically with them or not with them that we have this. And that's when we can hear or sense what they're trying to tell us, what they're wanting more of, what they need more of. But if we're too busy on the outside and inside, we can't hear that. We don't notice it. And that's when bad behavior will start happening.
Yeah, yeah. And the same goes for us, you know, because if we don't listen to ourselves, we don't tune in.
Yes, and my cat and my snake always remind me of what I need to do, just to come back in, to ground. Like my cat Nero will say to me, you're freaking me out. You're everywhere. And I'm like, okay. I'm going to do a meditation right now and calm down, bring all my energy back in. And then he'll be like, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a difference? This is always, I mean, I know that there is, but people usually ask me, so I'm interested to hear your point of view on that. Do you feel that there is a difference between the animals in terms of personality or how they communicate with us?
Well, from my experience, they've all got different personalities, all have different energies. Mm-hmm. Species to species, for me, I find that there's a different frequency in their energy, like mm-hmm. from a bird to a fish. So this is very generic, but like a fish's frequency to connect in and communicate is a little bit slower, just a little bit slower and denser than, you know, you have the cats and the dogs. They're the main ones that I do. So that's like in a heartbeat, you just connect in. And then we've got birds. For me, the smaller the bird, the higher the frequency, because they're always fluttering. Mm. And it's like, so radios now are all digital, but when they were analog, we had to do the vibration. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
So when I teach it, that's what I say, you know, remember the radio stations, if they're not millennials, and how we find the right station. It's just finding the right frequency just to drop in and mm-hmm. connect. Mm. But each of them have their own personality, which I love. And for me, they'll talk in different senses. So they might have their primary sense modality being quite visual. So they'll send you images or moving little movies of how they communicate feelings, or I'll hear them. Sometimes I'm working between all of my senses to connect with them and conversational. But sometimes if they're not used to communicating, they don't know how. So you have to prompt them, send me a photo, send me an image, or show me how you're feeling. And then once they get comfortable using the different styles of communicating, then bang, they're in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're coming out everywhere. What about this? What about that?
I know, they get really excited, right? It's like, oh my God, you can hear me. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Exactly. And then they've got so many stories. The stories are hilarious. They're so funny animals.
Yeah.
They're like, I always say they're like 5 to 6 year old kids when they're like not seniors. And I said, they just tell you whatever they're thinking and it just comes out. No filter.
No filter. Exactly. And no slowing down either. No. As long as it comes through so quickly, you just can't keep up. That's amazing.
In the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's beautiful too, because it really reminds us to remain present.
So animals teach us the mind. For me, they teach us to be mindful of ourselves first and then to connect with them. If we have that habit, we're going to be mindful with every species and human that we come into contact with, our plants, anything with a living vibration, we'll be more mindful of and we can communicate with. You know?
Yeah.
My plants can tell me when they're thirsty. You'll see them drooping if they're thirsty. That's how most people visually will notice that the plants are thirsty. But if you just tap in, if you're mindful, you can tap into their frequency as well. And you're like, oh, I think I might water you guys. I can feel you're thirsty. You're feeling it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating still for me. I mean, doing it so long already. I mean, you're doing it way longer than me. But doing it for such a while, and even though sometimes it happens really quickly, like you say, you know, it's almost second nature, you can just tune in. I'm still so surprised at the amount of information and the level of connection and how deep you can go and the feeling that you get from that. It's almost like you're being lifted up together with the animal in that particular frequency. And I'm sometimes so amazed of the information that comes through and the beautiful connections that we have, that it's such an honor to be able to do the work.
It is, isn't it? Because it's all from the heart.
Yeah.
And that is like when we work from that space, it's such a beautiful energy. And for me, it's like there's no ego in that energy. There's no, you're navigating here and there. It's just pure emotion or energy connection, heart to heart, and it's just so beautiful to feel, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. And it just really livens us up. Yeah, for sure. So what is one thing that you could perhaps share with us that people can take away and practice at home, whether that's in relation to animals or to mindfulness?
Well, it's the one thing that I always share with people, regardless if I'm working with them for themselves or with their animal, is to really step into your own energy daily. Because you don't wear the same clothes every day. They start to smell.
Yeah.
And if we're not aware of what we're collecting around with our energy, because as soon as we come into contact with people, even just walking past them in a shopping mall or something like that, we're still getting bits of their energy stuck to us.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And if we're not aware of what we're feeling in ourselves, we start assuming other people's energy is ours, which means we're connecting to other people's emotions, whether it's sadness, heaviness, stress, whatever, and it starts to clutter up. So if you do just some daily mindful exercises, you're able to declutter your energy and shower, like we have a shower every day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just breathing techniques. It doesn't have to be a long duration of time. I say if you can do up to 5 minutes every single day minimum, that's all you need to do. So it's just sitting down, breathing. You can place your hand on your belly button and just breathing into the stomach slowly and then exhaling.
Yeah.
And then some of them, people will say they're yoga techniques, but yoga techniques bring you back into the body. And that's all. Instead of our energy being scattered everywhere, we want to bring it home, especially at the end of the day, and clear it so we're not sleeping all the way through with other people's energy.
Yeah.
So it's just as simple as breathing in to bring all your energy in. A really quick one when you're stressed, I say to clients, is to just stamp your feet like a two-year-old. You know those two-year-old tantrums?
Yeah.
Because what that does is when they do it, they stamp their feet and they put their hands on their hips, and their energy, if you can see the energy, it expands. They just take up more space. So what you're doing is you're pulling in all your energy, you're grounding yourself by stamping your feet. And then when you put your hands on your hips, you're just gently expanding from within your body. So it's quite grounded energy.
Wow.
Quite strong.
Mm.
Really quick. It's really simple. Do it before you come in the house, because then you don't bring energetic debris into the home. You've decluttered slightly before you come in the home.
Yes.
And your animals will love you for this. So that's what I would suggest. Mm. Either into the belly, palm on the belly button, just for, I'd say, up to a minute if you haven't done it before. And the other one is stamping your feet really vigorously and then taking a few deep breaths in with your hands on your hips. So a bit of a Wonder Woman pose too. Wonder Woman or Superman.
Yeah. Oh wow, I never even thought about that to do the stamping of the feet. The breathing is quite a common one, but the stamping of the feet, wow.
Like, it's really quick, and it's like,
it makes sense.
Yeah, it's really, it's earthing. Mm. It's just like barefoot in the grass, you just do the stamping and it's like a straight funnel rooting straight into the earth.
Yeah I always make sure that especially when I go outside or I go to different areas where there's a lot of people, I usually make sure that I wear certain colors around my feet that are really grounding as well, because that really helps me ground.
What colors do you wear?
Reds, greens, browns. So, you know, red shoes, green shoes, brown shoes, or socks that are with those colors as well. Like today I'm wearing red socks.
Oh, cool. I like it.
You know, that makes sure that just energetically for me, it's like, yeah, I'm grounded. I'm really solid in my own power. I've got my 2 feet on the ground. I'm supported by Mother Earth and I can take on the day. So that's,
it makes a difference, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. And it's very simple, you know, it's very simple, but it's got such a big impact.
Yeah,
exactly. I like the fact that you do the stamping before you enter your house. That's a good one. I'm going to do that.
Also, like if you're stressed or a bit, it's quite dramatic. And yes. You kind of laugh at yourself when you do it as well. So
sorry,
like, I said it's quite dramatic doing it when you're like this. And if you're a little bit stressed or a little bit irritated, it makes you laugh after you've done it. Because in my head I go, I've just done a tanty.
Yeah.
I see me, but it was a tangy on purpose. I've changed my energy and it makes me laugh and I've got a smile on my face then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's awesome stuff. And that really, yeah, mellows it all out for yourself. Yeah, fantastic. So yes. So in terms of the summit as well, I just wanted to ask you, how can we raise the vibration together with the animals to have more of that connection with ourselves, to be able to be more mindful and to be able to be emotionally more balanced, to stay in our power in that sense?
Okay. One of the things that I'm quite passionate about is bringing awareness to others that animals are sentient beings. Mm-hmm. They have their own consciousness. They do feel pain. They do feel grief. They feel joy and happiness, which most people instantly relate to. But because they have that broad spectrum of emotions that they feel, they don't necessarily understand the story behind those feelings. Like, for example, we've had a bad day, this person's really annoyed me, and you're feeling quite agitated, irritated, you come home. They're just seeing that as, what have I done to upset you?
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that animals are sentient beings, do understand feelings, they don't understand the storyline, the concepts, is to be mindful of what you bring home. So for me, raising that awareness is educating and learning what our energy feels like for ourselves, because everyone's energy is different.
Yeah.
And becoming really familiar with your own energy, because that, as you're doing those exercises to be familiar with your own energy, you're investing in your self-worth, you're investing in yourself, and that gives you a core confidence,
mm-hmm.
a core knowing of who you are and what feels right. And that's when you're able to get your gut instinct or let your intuition come in, because you've got that clear energy and you're familiar with the subtleties of the messages coming through your body.
Yeah.
And whether you raise that, pet owners are going to do that for their animals, that's great. Or whether you choose to do it just for yourself, again, it doesn't matter. But really promoting that is a life changer.
Yeah.
Because it changes the way you experience every single moment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I can so relate to that, because sometimes, you know, when you do feel upset, when I look at my dogs who are actually completely asleep, they share a tiny little square pillow together. I'll look alike. Yeah. But when I sort of feel that my energy is low, or I'm agitated or frustrated, especially Rosie, Toby not so much, but especially Rosie, she will look at me and then her ears go in like down, and then she will go, "You're really upset. I think I need to avoid you right now." And I'm going, "Yeah, but I might need a cuddle, because that helps me ground again."
And then she'll come and give you a cuddle.
Sorry?
And then she comes and gives you a cuddle.
Yeah, very, very slowly, very slowly. Because she knows sometimes that, you know, when I am really frustrated, that I need to just go and be by myself and just let that out in my way. But yeah, she really senses that. So it's interesting that you also pick up on that, you know, that animals do sometimes believe it's me, I've done something. You know, mm-hmm. and it's probably children have the same thing as well, that when you get upset, the children automatically say, "Is it me?" But adults too, I find, you know. They feel it too, consciously.
Well, you know, it depends, like, how you develop your conscious awareness, obviously.
Yes.
Instead of having this, I only understand or have the concept of what's going on straight in front of me, instead of the peripheral vision.
Because
that's what creates awareness. And mindfulness or mindful exercises or methods help you have that awareness. And that's like a mother has always got eyes in the back of their head for the baby. They've got that awareness, that peripheral vision through their energy, where they're always sensing and aware of what that child or baby needs.
Yeah.
And that's what we're teaching, you know, and practicing for ourselves to have that space. And what happens is you don't take half of what goes on in your world personally.
No.
That by just having that awareness, you're able to step back and go, "That's not about me."
Yeah. No, that's so true. That's so true. And that awareness helps us as well to identify what really goes on for ourselves. And then you don't have that focus externally to have that question, you know, and to sit there going, "Is it about me? No, it's not." But when you have that full awareness, you're more able to connect to yourself.
Correct. Yeah.
And very much, you know, work from that space outwards rather than taking everything in from the outside and focusing there for answers and activities and things like that. But yeah, once you have that awareness. Yesterday I spoke to Jessica Moore. She's in the States, and she does Qigong, which is and I was fascinated to hear that they use a practice to close certain gaps in your energy field to set your boundaries. Mm-hmm. So when you were just talking about that, it reminded me of that activity as well, to sense where your boundary is and then start looking at what the gaps are, to become really aware of that space and filling those gaps so that there is no access to, you know, allowing things to come in that is not yours or spreading it out that shouldn't be someone else's.
Exactly, because it's like leaving every window, every front door open and back door as you go to sleep. That's what our energy, like you said, filling up those spaces that we're leaving open or gaps, are the doors we're leaving open in our home. And no one does that, unless you maybe live in the country and you feel you don't need to close the door. But generally, you know, at night we close our door, close all the windows just to feel safe. And to know that we're in our space. And that's what it is with our energy. With the mindfulness is about knowing what our energy is doing, where it's projecting, whether we're focusing on the outside, going in first to go out. Because that's what I always say. You've got to go in first to go out. Otherwise, you're living outside of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're just dragging the body along.
Yeah. That's hard work.
It is hard work, and it's living in a very mental state, mindset state, and we don't feel a lot of pleasure necessarily or emotional pleasure through the mind. It's our emotions through the heart or through our physical sensations in the body.
Yeah.
If you're aware of your energy or familiar with your energy, you're not going to be able to understand the subtle difference between the beginning of excitement or anxiety, because adrenaline is moving up and down. It's just which way we let it go, with either our mind says fear or the mind goes wow, excitement. So it's knowing that and getting it before it tips over one way or the other, to be mindful of it.
So how do you know that before the tipping point?
It's really being one familiar with your energy. Your energy is so subtle in its communication. It's because it's not tangible. It's hard to measure it. Emotional energy frequencies, and that is what I'm talking about. It's really hard to measure. If you're very physical in how you think, it's not concrete. So it's all experiential. And time to experience it. Like, it takes time to form a true friendship, because you've got to find out where the trust line is. First it's the outer circle, middle circle, then inner circle, then, you know, close. So, and it takes time to move through that. It's the same with our energy. It takes time to find what's our outer energy, what's our inner energy, how the body talks to us through sensations, and not to confuse it with fear. You know, like my gut instinct for no, some people think that's fear. But it's not necessarily fear. It's just saying, we don't want to do that. And we confuse it because the mind starts coming in. So that's, you know, it's about being really, it's practicing a new skill, a new art form of just feeling who you are from the inside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's the reconnection that we will have with ourselves.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Once you get into the flow of it, because sometimes it is a bit challenging working out what's what, and it does take dedication, like starting a new exercise regime or learning a new, like boxing, or it takes time before you get the coordination, the style, the flow. Same too, going inwards, connecting to yourself, making that space. And I always say, because people say to me, oh, I found it really hard. And I say, resistance is stress coming out. That's all resistance is that you get a little bit of anxiety at that stillness, because stillness is space. And for some of us, space means we feel alone or empty. It's just spaciousness, though, like clearing out your closet so that you can buy more new things.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And it's so vital. you know, and understanding that there is no fear in that space.
No.
Understanding that space is purely you in your own power. And a lot of people, because they have not experienced it, they believe that it's so scary, so they resist being in that space.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we're, if we haven't learned to declutter our energy, we're actually hoarders of every experience, everything that we've held, you know, in within us. And as you said earlier, that's a lot to carry in your everyday living.
Yeah.
So when you do create space, people think there's nothing left there, but that spaciousness allows you to sit with who you are and then actually consciously choose what you'd like to bring in, what you'd like to call in.
Mm.
That's what the space is for.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wonderful. Wow. Exciting stuff. Love it.
I know. I love talking about this.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. It's one of the things that it's really fun to actually talk to you, because the mindset that we both have is so similar, and what we've experienced, you know, and there's no synchronicities in that process. There's no coincidences in that sense. But yeah, it's so, what's the word? It's such a relief, you know, that you experience similar things, and that we can talk about it in this way as well. Because what I would love for people to get to is this sort of conversation becomes the norm rather than it being really unusual, you know, and that we can have the comfortable conversations around it rather than feeling like, oh my God, that's all juju or woo woo or whatever that is, right? So that's, and it's really wonderful to see as well that you are so grounded with the processes that you go through, and that you take on what you've learned and then implement that and then share that with the rest of the world together with the animals at the same time. Just amazing. Yeah.
I always say that, because, you know, I'm human. I go through challenging times, difficult times. Mm. And then every time I go through something difficult, I'm like, oh, gotta walk my talk. And you know, stress everything. I'm like, okay, let's go back to basics, let's go back to the foundational levels and rebuild on that again. And it's not about never slipping off or falling off the train, because you can get off at a train station, that's fine, but it's knowing how to get back on it and having that basic structure for when life gets too overwhelmed, that you're going, okay, I'm going to simplify it and build on that.
Yeah.
But I understand the basis.
Yes.
Yeah. Being able to talk about it just, you know, like this every day, it would be absolutely amazing.
Wow. Yes. Cheers to that one.
Cheers.
For sure. Wow, Simona, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here. It's so wonderful to have your expertise and your beautiful energy here on the summit. And I can't thank you enough. It's been amazing.
Thank you for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you, Bianca.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to yet another inspiring episode of Connecting Soul Beings podcast. I love receiving your comments, stories, and feedback, as they are truly inspiring. So please take some time to comment on this episode below. If you love the show, you can help us by sharing and liking it via your favorite podcast platform and our website. And if you feel that we can work together in helping you to connect to your inner self and the animals, then hop on over to biancadeRose.com or find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram under Bianca De Rose. Thank you again so much. Say hi to your pet from me and stay connected with love and grace.